So as many of you know, a little more than a week ago, I spent time in a Christian orphanage in Haiti. And one of the many interesting byproducts of that is when you get Christians and Jews together, they talk about each other's religions. And I wasn't witness to the conversation, but one of the guys who helped start the rebuilding of the orphanage, whose name is Mark Rosenthal, told me about it afterwards. He was sitting with one of the builders who was Christian, and the builder said to him, "So, I want to get this kosher thing straight." He explained to him what animals you can't eat and what seafood you couldn't eat. And then he said, the Christian said to Mark, "Well, what about vegetables?" And Mark said, "No, any vegetables are okay. Vegetables don't come into it. It's only things that are alive." And the guy said, "Oh, yeah? Well, what about kosher pickles?" So he said to him, "Actually, you know, they developed that name and so on and so forth, but they're not really kosher." And she said, "That happens to be, it's a unique thing. It has nothing to do with anything. You really don't find that anywhere else." And the guy said, "Oh, yeah, well, how about kosher salt?" And it isn't until someone from the outside says to you, "What's this about your traditions?" that you start to think, of course, about what they mean, because if you're used to them and you grow up with them, you don't ask those questions. It's one of the reasons why it's so wonderful to listen to children's questions, because they don't have the assumptions about the world that we've developed as adults, so we have to ask ourselves something anew. And I want to ask you, well, I really want to tell you, but I'm going to start off by asking you about something that we do every day in our prayers and every Shabbat, and all of you who weren't really, really late just did, which is in the central moment of the prayer service, the most important moment, which is the Kiddushah. The key phrase is Kadosh, 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 taken from this morning's vision of Isaiah. And while we say that, what do? We go up on our heels. Now, my guess is that many of you have done that for years and years and years, and yet you don't know why. Because nobody ever said to you, "How about kosher salt?" And because it is in this morning's Haftarah, and because it is central to the service, the Kiddushah is the most sacred moment in the service, once in Shacharit, and then again in Musaf. It's worth knowing the context of what we do, and why we do it, and what it means. When Isaiah has this vision in heaven of the seraphim, of the angels around God, that is what they're chanting, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Which means that that phrase is characteristic of the angels. When we say the Amidah, we are told to put our feet together because we're emulating angels, and in the book of Yechezkel, of Ezekiel, Ezekiel describes angels as having one leg. So we put our feet together because, especially during the Kiddushah, we are trying to be like angels. And so let's ask ourselves, what are angels like in the Torah? And the answer is that what characterizes angels is they don't do anything wrong. They are malachim, they're messengers of God. And whatever God tells an angel to do, an angel does. There are later rabbinic legends about angels that are sort of rebellious, although not quite like they are in Christian or Muslim thought. But in the Torah and in the Kiddushah, the idea is that angels are perfect for what they do. So much so, in fact, that they don't get the Torah. Because according to the rabbis, they tell a story of Moshe being up in heaven and wanting the Torah, and the angels are upset. They said, look at us, we don't do anything wrong, give up, we deserve the Torah. These human beings, all they do is mess up. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they sin. Why give them this precious thing? Give it to us. So what does Moses say? Moses says, you don't need a Torah. You don't lie, you don't cheat, you don't steal, you don't sin. What do you need a Torah for? I represent people. They need a Torah. They do all these things. And after you give them the Torah, they'll continue to do all these things. But at least they'll have some guidance. So you can aspire to angelic heights, but you'll never get there. You can seek to be perfect, but you're going to be a human being, and that's why you need a Torah. And that is why, if you will notice, when you rise on your heels to say Kadosh, where do you end up? Back on earth. As if to say, we seek to be like angels, but we get pulled down by the gravity of our human nature. And we end up doing all the things that Moses said to God that we would do, which is why we got the Torah in the first place. Because after all, if we were as good as we expect other people to be, not ourselves, but other people, we wouldn't need a Torah. That is the ideal, incidentally. It's the reverse of what we usually do. According to the sages, we're supposed to be machmir al-atzmo u'mekil al-acherim. We're supposed to be severe with ourselves and forgiving of others. Most of us get it wrong. You hear a lot in our society about how you have to forgive yourself. You must forgive yourself. You must let yourself off the hook. But actually, in our tradition, the focus of forgiveness is to forgive others, which is not a counsel against forgiving yourself. But according to the Baal Shem Tov, every fault you find in someone else, everything you're angry about in someone else, everything you judge severely in someone else, is a mirror. Why does it bother you so much? Granted, they have that fault. That's not the question. The question is, why does it bother you so much? Because after all, 100 people can look at the same person who has the same fault, and it will bother 50 of them, and 50 of them will let it go. So says the Baal Shem Tov, when you see a fault in someone else, if you want to do something useful, try to figure out, why does it bother you so much that the cell phone went off? Why does it bother you so much? Right? Why? What is it about that happening that bothers you? Knowing that we all sin and we all have faults and we all do things wrong. If it isn't done directly to you, then I know why it bothers you, right? If someone's cruel to you, it's going to bother you. But why is it that you think someone else should be up here when you know everybody's really down here? Anshei Kadosh tiyun li. Holy men you shall be to me, God says to Bnei Yisrael in Exodus, in Shemot. Holy men you shall be to me. You know what the Kotzker Rebbe says about that? He says, God wants holy men. God's got enough angels. The trick is to aspire as human beings, but that is, of course, a very difficult thing to do. So sometimes we're perfectionists, which way overestimates the capacity of human beings, because we're not perfect at anything, or we wouldn't be human. Or else, we allow ourselves much too much latitude, but don't allow it in others. And kadosh, kadosh, kadosh is a reminder of the idea that we aspire to be better, but that we'll never reach it. When Isaiah has this vision, remember what he says. God says, I need a messenger. And Isaiah at first thinks he can't go because he has unclean lips. In other words, he's not perfect. He's said bad things. He's done bad things. He may be Isaiah, but he's a person. Right? We know from the Torah there isn't a hero who doesn't sin. Not Abraham, not Sarah, not Moshe, nobody. They all sin. They're all people. So Isaiah doesn't want to go. And an angel comes over and places tongues, a coal to his lips, and burns his lips as if to say, it's true you sin, but as a human being, you also get punished for your sin, right? Angels get to live forever. We have bodies that feel pain, that get sick, that suffer, that die. And once Isaiah understands that idea, that we're imperfect and we suffer for our imperfections, and life is not so easy, then he says to God, here I am, send me. And he becomes not an angel, but a messenger, a prophet, a Navi. That's the message at the heart of the service. At the most important moment, it is you should aspire and you will fail. You should want to be better, but you'll never be as good as you wish to be. And therefore, you should be forgiving of others when they're not as good as you wish them to be. Because that happens to all of us. Everybody, sooner or later, lets you down, disappoints you, hurts you, bruises you, is callous to you. But if you draw the right conclusion from that, it is that you must be the same. That you sometimes let people down, are callous to them, bruise them, hurt them, and therefore should forgive them. It's the most sacred moment in the service because it's the moment that we praise God the way the angels do. But it is also sacred because it's the moment that we realize that we're not angels. And neither is the person standing next to us, or the person behind us, or the person against whom we nurse that grudge, or the person against whom we hold that grievance. We can seek to be holy human beings, but holy human beings are flawed. Angels don't yearn, and they don't sin. We do both. And we will continue to throughout our lives, until maybe in a different way, in a different world, we're closer to God and a little more angelic. Shabbat Shalom.